The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Ekev. In the Sedra, the Vorim Ches, Posuk Zayin. Ki Hashem Elokecha meviyacha le'eretz teva, eretz nach le'moyim, ayones u'sehemes yeitzim bebiko u'behor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to a good land. A land of rivers, springs, deep wells which come from the valley and from the mountains. Eretz chito usa'ora, v'gefen usa'eno, v'rimein eretz zei shemen udvosh. A land of wheat and barley, of the vine, of the fig, of the pomegranate, the oil of the olive, and the honey from the date. Eretz asher lei, v'miskenu stechel bo lechem, leisechsar kol bo, Eretz asher avoneho barzel u'meharoreho tachseib nechoshes. It's a land which you will eat your bread without difficulty, and you will not lack. A land in which its stones are iron, and you will hew out copper from the mountains. V'achalte v'shavoto, and you shall eat, and you shall be satisfied. U've'erachta es Hashem alakecho, and you shall bless the Lord your God, alo oretz ateva asher nosan loch, and the good land which he has given to you. The Gemara, in Mesechta Broches, and Daf Mem Chesam et Beis, learns from here our most important brocha. It's a brocha very, we have many, many brochas, but there's possibly only one, perhaps two brochas that are actually min HaTorah, directly from the Torah itself. And this is one of them, Birchas Hamazon. Yachalto, Mishavoto, Veirachto, that here we are commanded that when we eat and are satisfied, we must bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the mitzvah, Birchas Hamazon, of brochas, mention. We've given shurim in the past on Birchas Hamazon, benshin, and that's not going to be the topic this evening, but rather to speak on two points. Now the Gemara learns from here, from this brocha, on the Aflamet Hei in Mesechta Brochis, another principle, and that's Brocha Rishenu. Benching Birchas Hamazon is known as a Brocha Achreinu. It's a Brocha which you make after you eat. We have another set of Brochas which are known as Brocha Rishenu, a Brocha you make before you eat or before you partake from something from this world, before you take pleasure. And the Gemara learns this from a Kal Vachomer. Kishu hu sova mevorech, kishu hu rov lekolshkein. If one is obligated to make a brocha when he is satisfied, so then how much more so is one obligated to make a brocha when he is still unsatisfied and he's coming to satisfy himself? And Rashi on that Memches explains this. He says, Kishuhu sova mitzvah leloborech ulahedis al sivau. When a person is satisfied, if there's a mitzvah to bless Hashem and to thank and praise him on the satisfaction, kishurov v'hubo lahofik esra ovei, when he is hungry
and he's coming to satisfy that hunger through the creations of Hashem. So how much more so must he come to satisfy, to bless and praise Hashem? If one has already satisfied what he was lacking, and the Torah said, eat and be satisfied and bless and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so how much more so when he is hungry and he is coming to satisfy himself with the creations of Hashem, how much more so must he thank and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is what the Gemara says. So actually from this posuk we learn out not only brocha achreina or brocha after one eats, but also brochas from before one partakes. Actually Tosfos there in brochas says that this kal v'chomer, this logic is not 100%, because the Gemara says that the brochas from before we eat, that the Rabbonim, the actual brochas at the Rabbonim were Masada, they organized them. But Asmechino Akro, this is where they learned how to enact all of those brochas. So, 2 points I would like to dwell on here. Firstly, from here we learn that even though we consistently pray to Hashem on what we are lacking. In the tefillah, Shemein Esre, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wisdom that we are lacking. Atochon Ein L'dom Das. We ask for tshuva, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seiras Echo. For slicha, for forgiveness, Lachlonu Avinu. For geula, for redemption. For refuah, for a cure, refoeinu, for panoso, for echoleinu. So we are always asking Hashem to give us what we are lacking. We see that there's another obligation upon us, aside from asking Hashem, known as tachnunim, for what we are lacking, there's another obligation upon us, to bless and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what we have, on HaShfiyah, on our satisfaction, on Mili Chesreinenu, on the fulfillment of what we are lacking. And generally popular thought is, firstly, that's easy. Easy to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we have. And secondly, it's popular thought that people will say that when I get what I need and I have what I need, I will be satisfied. I will pray, I will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and praise him with a full heart. What we do not realize though is that time, sometime in the future, when we have everything we need, we will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a full heart. We do not realize that that time is not a time in the future, but that's a time every minute of the day when we are obligated to do so. Because every minute of the day, a person is fulfilling his needs. He is eating, he is drinking, he is sleeping, he is breathing. And secondly, this is not as easy as one thinks. And the reason for this is but before we come to that, if a person would be Zohir. He would be scrupulous and he would be careful to fulfill the words of the sages that we are obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever we are satisfied. Then a person would be always in a state of great happiness and always in a state of fulfillment, because he's always thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for satisfaction. I have eaten and I'm satisfied. And we are commanded to recognize our satisfaction and to thank Hashem under all situations. The Gemara says, even b'shas haninus, even at the most saddest and difficult time in a person's life. For example, Mora brings Masechta Brachos, if a person hears news that, heaven forbid, a member of his family died, and at the same time this news brings him other tidings that he has just become a wealthy man because he has inherited the estate, he's an heir, how should he react? Should he be broken because of the bad tidings? Should he be happy and satisfied because of the good tidings? The Gemara says he's obligated in both emotions. It's chayiv beis brachos. He has to make two brachos, the Gemara says. He has to make a baruch day in emes. He has to express his grief and recognize the judgment of Hashem that it's true on the bad tidings, and at the same time he has to make a shechah yonah or a tov v'ameitiv on the good tidings, because he has just received something and we cannot close our eyes to that. And if a person would be cognizant of that all of the time, then he would be what the Mishnah Novice tells us, a wealthy man. Who is the wealthy man? The one who is satisfied. And he would fulfill what King Solomon said, Yigia kapecho kiseichel ashrecha v'tevloch, that he enjoys the works of his hands and becomes satisfied through the works of his hands. Ashrecha v'tov loch, he has both worlds, and he is greater, godol hanenam yigia kapo miyorei Hashem, he's greater than the one who merely fears Hashem, because the one who goes around and merely fears Hashem, he has the next world but not this world. This world is too troubled. But the one who takes pleasure in all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Maral writes, Mitechava, with love, which is greater than with fear. And not only does he have the next world, but he has constant enjoyment in this world. This is because he's constantly recognizing all that Hashem is giving, and he's blessing him all of the time. Now, this though is a very difficult level to come to. But why? The reason is because the most formidable power of the Satan, of the Yetzer Hara, is to conceal from us the truth of the world. And therefore he does not allow the person to recognize his satisfaction. But he constantly comes to the person to highlight not what he has just received, but what he is lacking. I saw not long ago from the Vilna Gaon, and this is a very, very good illustration of what we're speaking about. The Gaon says that when a person is young, the Yetzer Hara comes to him and implants in him a strong desire, not merely for food, which is sufficient to sustain him, but for food which tastes good, outstanding. And therefore we start to derive a desire for Coca-Cola and for potato chips, see, and for hot dogs, and so forth and so on. But it's only the beginning. As he grows older, the Yetzer Hara comes to him and implants in him a desire for begodim nechmodim, not merely for clothing that will keep us warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and that will be respectable, but for the latest fashions, the latest styles, and so on. Then he comes further and he starts to implant in him a desire for beautiful jewelry, for gold and silver. Where does it end? The Krot writes, he says it doesn't end. He will pursue this person until eventually this person will want that afilu haritzpo shelei mechusim kula ve'avonim yakoris, where he will want even the floors of his house or of his palace to be laden with precious stones. Someone would come to a young man and say, one day you'll want to walk on precious stones. You'll say, what are you talking about? I don't own even one precious stone. And then the Gemara goes further and says, ein odem meis v'chatzi tavose biyodei. There is no person that dies that has achieved even half of his material desires. The Yetzer Hara is always one step ahead of us. Ein odem meis v'chatzi tavose biyodei. Not a person dies and has achieved half of his material desires. The Yetzer Hara is the insurance policy. He makes sure of that. So therefore the Yetzer Hara, the Sochan, comes to constantly be matrid us, constantly trouble us, what we are lacking, what we are lacking, in order that we can never recognize what we have. And if we cannot recognize what we have, we are firstly constantly in a state of pursuit, where we are constantly pursuing what we are lacking, and secondly we are constantly in a state of atzfus, of sadness, of depression. Perhaps that's why there is so much depression in our Western world, because this comes from emptiness. When a person has what he needs, he's full. If he's lacking what he needs, he's empty. The utensil's empty. And when he's empty, there's the constant pursuit to fill it, and it can never become full. And if it's empty, then there's sadness. It becomes broken. And this is exactly what the Yetzer Hara wants. Because of that reason, the Gaon instructed, it says, distance yourself from learning how to desire that which one does not need. Distance yourself from that as much as possible, because otherwise you will be snared in the hands of the Yetzer, where he'll drive you out of the world. You see people that get involved with trying all of the time to get more and get more, and they'll tell you, one day I'll have what I want. The day never comes. And he also instructed, he said, what
type of friends should you choose? He says, choose friends who have less than you in the material world and more than you in the spiritual world. Because when you will associate with people that have more than you in the material world, that is, it will ignite your desire to have more and more. But when you're with people that have less than you, then you can only recognize what you have, not what you're lacking. But when it comes to wisdom and mitzvahs, associate with those that have more than you. Because there you want to ignite your desire to go for more. Don't. Unfortunately, too many of us, we associate with people who materialistically have more than us and spiritually have less than us. And that's the wrong combination. So because of this, the person is constantly reminded all of the time by the Yetzer what he lacks. If he needs this, this is what I need. The minute he has it, now I need that. Now if I only had this. And it goes on and on. And he's always looking at what he is lacking. And he is not concentrating on what he has. Even when we drink or we eat, instead of concentrating on what we're eating and what we're drinking, ein av bekeish shel acher, he is eyeing what's in the other person's cup and not what is in his own cup. From this brings a person into a constant state of blind pursuit and a constant state of daigo, of worry, and a constant state of atzfus, depression. From the other aspect, the chazal, the sages, went to great extent to tell us just the opposite. The Gemara Manoches Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis Hoya Rebeya Eimer. Rebeya said, Chayev Odim Levorech Mea Broches Bechol Yom, that a person should try to say 100 blessings every day. Every day he should try to eat or to do things that will require of him 100 blessings a day, so he can constantly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this will bring simcha to him. This will bring joy and fulfillment to him, because it drives home, look what a rich man I am. Look what I have. Actually, in general, my Rebbe tells Rosh Yeshiva of Gifter, would say that in general, he said, he was against those that constantly found lacking in themselves. He says, not only materialistically, I don't have this and I need that, but he says in general, he didn't like too much self-criticism. He's told me once, he says, Chalz is rana chisoren dat mezaken zijn, aber nicht te zoeken chisreines in zich alleen. When a person sees that there's something wrong with himself, he has to fix it. But to look for wrong things in himself, to look where he's lacking, no. Don't look too hard. Because this puts a person in a matzav, in a state of depression. And it takes his eye off of what he has, if he's constantly looking for criticisms in himself. And just like one has to look towards others, when you look at others, as Chazal states, you must look with an ayin yofer,
with a good eye. Must not look towards others to find shortcomings. You must look towards others to find strong points in them. They're good points. Not the criticism. The same hanhoga, the same type of conduct, one is also obligated towards he himself. You have people that are constantly criticizing themselves, self-critical. I don't do this right and I don't do that right. I could do this better and I could do that better. He says he doesn't hold that's a mitzvah. You see you're doing something wrong, you have to work on perfecting it, improving it, self-improvement. But to constantly hammer yourself and look, again, what are you emphasizing? You're emphasizing what you do not have. You're not emphasizing what you do have. Okay? Bring out the good points in yourself. And this will bring a person again to a positive outlook. It'll bring him to simcha, not to atzmus, not to depression. But certainly, and then he's able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a person can praise and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu only from a positive outlook, like it states, V'achal tovei savoto. A person can't see what he doesn't have and then praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank him for it. And certainly in the materialistic world, this is what the Rambam writes. The Rambam at the end of Seif, at the end of Perek Yud of Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam says as follows. He says a short statement, but a very, very important statement. Klol Shel Dover. This is the general principle. Le'olam Yitzak Odom Alo Osid Lovei. A person must always cry out to Hashem for the future and ask for Hashem's compassion. That's from one aspect. That's what we mentioned before. He has to ask for wisdom. He has to ask for Refuah Shleima, for Panoso. But v'yitein haydo al masha ovar. But at the same time, he must always give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shegiyon Elas Manaseh, that we are still here today. What Hashem has done for us in the past. V'yede v'yishabeach kefi keichai. And he has to praise Hashem with all of his powers. V'chol amar b'lehedis as Hashem u'lashab chaitomid hareze meshubach. And whoever praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu more for what he has given him, he must constantly ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his needs in the future, but at the same time praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he has given to him till now. And whoever praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu more, Harizem Meshubach, he is praiseworthy. Too many times we only ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we need. I need this and I need that. But we forget about what we have had till now. We're hungry, we need that, but we forget that till now how many meals did we have? And this is what a Jew constantly has to do, and then he will be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a shleimus, with a fullness. The Rambam at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, at the end of Hilchos Brachos in totality, the Rambam says as follows. La'olam yizor odem bebrocha she'enet tzricho. A person should always be careful never to make a brocha which is not required. This is a question of a brocha levatola. Could be a brocha in vain. So you must always be careful not to make a brocha which is not required. But v'yarbe bebrochas hatzrichos. But he should try to make as many brochas as possible that are required. V'chein dover omar. And that's what David said, Bechol Yom Avachecho. I will bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechol Yom. If you look through the Tehillim, you see David was blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time. All of the time he was speaking of the praises of Hashem and blessing him b'chol yom avachecha. So therefore, this is the first point, the first cloud that we learn, that the Torah tells us that not only we must cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we're lacking, but we must bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we have. And not only after we have it, but as we are partaking from it, before also we have to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what brings a person to Avas Hashem, to love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to Simcha, to joy in this world. Those people that cannot do this, and they're constantly only focusing on what they need and what they're lacking, or even in themselves, they have critical eyes to themselves, what they're not all of the time. Those are people that are miserable and bitter people in this world. And such people cannot praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They can only ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for more, but they cannot praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what they have. Second point. The Gemara tells us that the Birchas HaMozin, the benching, this bracha, the major bracha that we're speaking about, after one eats, that's an asudas lechem. That's when one partakes from a suda, a meal, that has bread. Must have bread. And we find the bracha rishena, the bracha that we make before we partake, the most illustrious bracha of the brachas rishenas is the bracha on bread, hametzi lecha min haaretz. The fact is, the Gemara says that hapas peteres es hakol, when you sit down to eat a suda and you make a bracha on the bread, then no longer are you obligated to make brachas on the rest of the meal, because the bread is the central part of the meal and everything else is considered coming along together with the bread. And can you give me please the Mishnah Berurah Chelek Beis to give you an idea of the hashivas, of the importance of bread? In Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim, Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, Siv Dalit, the Mechaber brings Yitain Shtei Yodav Alapas B'Shas Brocha, that when you are making the Brocha Ametzi Lechem in Oretz, you should take the bread and put both hands on it. Why should you put both hands on it? Sheyesh ben you, it's both. So all 10 fingers, all 10 of your fingers should be on the bread. Why? See? Why? Keneged yud mitzvahs atluyis bepas. Because the bread is so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 10 mitzvahs that one has to fulfill before creating bread. What are the 10 mitzvahs? 10 mitzvahs the Mishnah Berurah brings. This is from Yishalmi, Seif Perakam Dechala. Firstly, when he plows, you make bread, you have to plow the soil. You plow, there's a mitzvah leshachres b'shov v'chama yachtav. You cannot plow with two species of animals. Then, yeah, for example, with an ox and a donkey, klei behemte. Then, when you seed, it says leisotcha leisizrakloim. You cannot put in the ground a mixture of different species of seeds together. Then, when you thresh, it states leisachshim shobedishay. When a Jew comes to thresh, and he's got his animal that's threshing, and the animal wants to eat from the grain,
You're not allowed to muzzle them. You have to allow them to eat. That's three mitzvahs. Then the three matonos that we have to give to the anim. There are three gifts that we must give to the poor. Leket shichur peah. That what falls, we have to allow when we're harvesting. We have to allow the poor to come and take it. That what we forget to cut, we have to allow the poor to come and take it. And the pay in the corners of the field. Then there are, that's six. And then there are four mitzvahs of matonos, of givings to the kahanim. The chuma, the maaser rishon. Well, the chuma went to the Kain, the maaser rishon went to the Levi, the maaser sheni, the first 2 years would be taken up and eaten in Yerushalayim by the owners themselves, and the third year it would be given to the poor, and then the challah. Then that was all on the grain, and then we would make challah, bread from it, and a portion of the challah would have to go to the kahanim. So we have 10 mitzvahs till we come to the bread. This shows how important the bread is. So in order to express this, there's a halacha that you should put both hands on the bread in order that you have 10 fingers, all 10 fingers on the bread. Can they get yud mitzvahs at luis bepas? Then the Mechaber brings lekach yesh yud tevis bebirchas hametzi. The baruch of hametzi has hametzi lechem min oretz is 4, and baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam is 6. It has 10 words. And in the pasuk matzmiach chotzel behema, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives mozein to the animals, there are also 10 words. And einei kol elechi saberu, and eretz chita saora, there are also 10 words in this pasuk that we learned here in Parshas Ekev. Eretz chita saora, it's a land of gray, of wheat and barley. There are 10 words. So this is a sign, how important the bread is. Now, further, the Medrash brings in Reishis Rabba Perek Mem Ches Omer Reb Yitzchok. Reb Yitzchok said, "V'toreh b'nevim k'suvim otzinu da'ado pita mizonisho d'libo." That in the Torah and in the prophets and in the writings, we find that bread is the mainstay for a person. States lechem soed. Soed means it strengthens him, it stabilizes him. All other foods he needs, but it does not strengthen him or stabilize him like bread. It states in the Torah, ve'ko pas lechem v'shadu libchem. Avraham said to the angels, I will bring some pas lechem, I will bring some bread, v'so'adu libchem, and this will strengthen your hearts. V'nevim so'ad libcho, pas lechem. The prophets, it tells us the same thing. V'ksuvim, in the writings, it states, v'lechem levav enesh yisod. That bread strengthens a person's heart. So, we therefore say that bread is the main chiyus shal odom. This brings him his physical sustenance. Actually, we have in English also, it states that bread is the staff of life. The Maral asks a very interesting question. Bread, the condition, the many, many halachas we have. We have a whole Shulchan Aruch on mitzvahs relating to bread. But in order to classify as bread, firstly it must be made from the chitin sa'orin, from the major grains, wheat or barley. Wheat or barley is actually two main grains which are broken into 5 grains. Alright? But it must be baked. Bread which is not baked is not bread. It's not pas lechem in its raw state. Not only that, not only it doesn't qualify legally for bread, but it's not even bread. What is raw bread? Raw bread is grain. It's wheat. It's rye. It's barley. It's oats. It's not bread. So the Maral asks, why is it that this pas, this bread, which is the mainstay of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose something which has to be made by man and cannot be eaten in its natural state, while we have so many other good foods that are eaten in their natural raw state? We have all types of fruits, we have all types of vegetables, or even meat and fish. Firstly, many times you can eat them in the raw state, but even if you process them, it's still meat, it's still fish. You take an egg, you eat it raw, it's an egg. You cook it, it's still an egg. You take meat, you want to eat it raw, the Gemara says raw meat is very healthy. Good. You want to cook it, it's still meat. You take fish, you want to salt it and eat it, you want to make a herring out of it, you want to smoke it, you want to fry it, bake it, but it's still fish. Comes the mainstay of man, the bread, has to be processed. If it's not processed, it's not bread, and it's not even cold bread. In its raw state, it's wheat, it's rye, it's grain, it's oats. Even though he says that's very healthy for a person, rye and oats and grain in its raw state is very healthy, the Gemara says. And it also brings strength to him, but it cannot do for him what bread can do. So why is that? It's a good, very interesting question. He answers this with a medrash. The medrash brings in Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Tazria. Shoal Turnus Rufus Harosho. Turnus Rufus, this was one of the Roman nobility. He asked the Rebbe Kiva, he said, "Is a masin noim? Shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu or shall Bosav Adom?" He says, whose handiwork is better, Hashem's or man's? So the Rebbe Kiva said, "Shall Bosav Adom?" He says, "Man's handiwork is better than Hashem's." Omar leiton es rufus reisa shemayim voretz yochaladim lasis ki yitzabem. Then es rufus says, "Did you ever see the heavens and the earth?" He says, "The stars, the moon. Can man make something like that?" Omar le Rebbe Kiva leisema libedovish ulamalamin abriyas shein sholtim olov ele emod vorim shein matzuim bnei odom. He says, "Don't ask me from something which is outside of the scope and the realm of people. People cannot crawl up to the heavens. Therefore, that's not a point. But ask me from something which is within the scope of man. And there, a man's handiwork is better than Hashem's." So he says, then he asked him another question. He says, "Why do you Jews circumcise yourselves?" So Rabbi Kiva said, "Ani isi adei shal davazel toshalani." He says, "I knew this is what you were getting at. Lakach damti v'amati." Therefore, I answered you before you asked me that ma'ase b'nei odom noim mishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why I asked you that. Answered you that the work of men are better, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person that was uncircumcised, and now man improves on it by circumcising, through circumcision. So Turnus Rufus was not satisfied. He says, "I can't accept the fact that man's handiwork can improve on Hashem's." So Hevi la Rebbe Kiva Shibolim v'glus kaus. So Rebbe Kiva brought him grain in one hand and beautiful loaves of bread and cakes in the other hand. And he says, "Here, eat." Which one is better? Okay. The ones made by Hashem or the ones made by man? And he proved to him that man's handiwork is better. Now, what is meant by this? How is it possible that man's handiwork should be better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Maral explains as follows. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create the Teva, the nature. Man cannot do that. This whole wonderful nature that we see, that Hashem creates. But we have to realize that the level of the nature is that of physical. The whole natural world is physical nature. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. Man is higher than the nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created him a physical and spiritual substance. And therefore he's higher than the nature. Because of that, he has ability to improve on the nature. He couldn't create a nature, but he can improve on the nature. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create a nature. But the nature, the Teva, is physical. Man was created both physical and spiritual. He was given a seichel, he was given an intelligence, he was given a nefesh and a neshama. Therefore, he stands greater than the nature, and therefore he has the ability to improve on the nature. Therefore, his handiwork can be better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in nature. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that ability. Well, he can take the nature, the raw nature, and improve on it. That's why nature produces grain. Man can take from that grain and produce bread. Now, the food, the mozein, which was created for every creation, is that what is appropriate for that creation? For example, insects do not eat what lions eat, and snails do not eat what whales eat. Fish do not eat what birds eat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, just like the creation, he created the appropriate food for that creation to give it life. Now he had to create appropriate food for man to give man life. For everyone else, for an animal doesn't eat bread, he eats grain. An animal which is humrius, an animal which is a physical creation, he needs physical sustenance. But physical sustenance alone for man would not suffice. Because man is a creation which is above the physical nature. Therefore, he needs a sustenance which was brought forth by the nature and also by the intelligence and by the ability of man. And therefore, his main sustenance, even though he eats many things, and he has to eat many things, and he can eat things in its raw state. But his main sustenance, his mainstay, which from there comes his main life, his main physical life, has to be appropriate for he himself. And since he's a person who's made both of physical material and of mental material, therefore it has to be something more than nature alone can produce. Therefore it's pas. He takes the grain, and he threshes it, and he grinds it, he mills it, and he kneads it, and he bakes it. And now he has put his energies into it and his seichel into it. Now it becomes the mozein, the chius for man. This is why his food is different, and it does not come in a raw state, but it comes only in this produced process state. Now, with this, he explains another medrash. When Adam, excuse me 1 minute, when man was in Gan Eden, there he was told that he can eat from everything that grows in the garden. Enjoy everything, except one tree he was not allowed to eat from. After he sinned, and he was driven outside of the garden, it states that his sin brought a curse to the earth. Kodesh Baruch Hu cursed the earth because of man. And it says, V'kotz v'darda tatzmiach loch, and he will have to eat from that what the land brings forth, and there'll be thorns and thickets and so on. The Medrash brings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Ilo zochiso, ho yisenet l'asovim b'tei gan eden b'tei b'ntam kol ma'adanim shebeilem. If you were Zeche, if you were meritorious, you hadn't sinned, you would eat whatever the garden grew, and you would have in those fruits every time, every taste in the world. You would taste every beautiful taste in creation. But because you were not, Achshov, V'achalte Seisev Asoda, now you will have to eat from the grass and from the growth of the fields, from the grains of the fields. Kiven shisham Adam rishen kach. When Adam heard this, he started to sweat. He became so upset. Omar, mani niksha le'evus kebehema. He says, "Am I going to be tied to a, how do you say an avus in English? It's what the animal eats from. What? A crib. A trough." He says, "Am I going to be tied to the trough like my donkey?" And he started to sweat. He became so upset. Omar Lei, Oil Visia Ponecho, Techalechem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, since you're sweating so much, your face is sweating, you will be different than your animal. Your animal will eat the grass, you'll eat the grains, whatever grows, and you'll eat bread. And that's what it states, Bezea Sapecho Techalechem. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. Then the Medrash says, man might have been better off with the first curse, that he should eat together with his animal. Now, what does it mean? Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, is not a physical world. It's different than our world. You see, everything grew out by itself. River came through, and it was, everything was there. So that was a world that was on a high spiritual plane. That world was on a level that man was on, and therefore man could eat from the fruit of the trees, and that would be the mozzin, that would be the appropriate food for him. But when he was driven out of the garden, and he had to go into the rest of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to curse the Oretz, to curse the land. So the land fell now to the level of the physical nature that we know. And man was still higher than that. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you'll eat from the growth of the earth, he became very upset. He says, what? I'm going to eat from the same thing as my animal. Here, this is a donkey, and he's created to serve me, and we share the same food. I certainly am a higher level than he is, and the food has to be appropriate for the recipient of it. And Zeas HaPecha, he became all upset. And why did he become upset? Because he was a Baal Seichel, because he had intelligence. If he didn't have intelligence, he wouldn't be upset. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right. Therefore, Bezeas HaPecha Techel Lechem. He says, you're right. You have to have a different food. Why must he eat by the sweat of the brow? The sweat of the brow is man's toil and energy. You must eat something that you produce, that man produces with his energy and with his strength and with his intelligence. Then it will be a food appropriate for you. Without that, it's a food appropriate for a donkey. So therefore, b'zeh asapecha techa lechem, why must you eat something that requires the sweat of the brow? Because that uplifts what you're eating. It's a product of man now. It's not a product of the earth, which the earth is the level of the donkey. The donkey can eat what comes out of the earth naturally, but not you. Then man was happy. Oh, now you're talking, he said. See? Now I'm different than my donkey. But the Medrash says that he might have been better off with the first proposition. But because of this, because then his mezainis would have been Mitsuya. His mezainis would have been wherever he found it. And because he wanted this higher level and it has to be the produce of man himself, that brings him to many, many Averas. Okay? It brings him to many, many Averas of theft and Mitzicha and whatnot. But at any rate, this is the explanation why, when it comes to the main life-giving force in man's diet, it has to be something that man improves upon in the nature, b'zeas hapecha, with all of his energies. Then it becomes a creation which can sustain man. The Maral says, this is why we find that at the Yetzias Mitzrayim, when they went out of Egypt, what happened all of a sudden? HaKadosh Baruch Hu fed them lechem min hashamayim, bread from the heavens, mon. Why? In Egypt, they ate bread. Now they come out of Egypt, lechem min hashamayim, because when they went out of Egypt, they were on an enormous level. They had seen the great Yod Chazoko and Zerai and the Tuya, the strong hand and the outstretched arm, and they saw all of the makas, the plagues, and they saw the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and Ros HaShivchal Aliyom. They saw the greatest revelations of Hashem. The door, Yetzi Mitzrayim, that generation that went out of Egypt, was on an enormous level. And therefore bread was not sufficient anymore to sustain them. But it had to be another type of bread, Alechem min Hashamayim, almost similar to what was in Gan Eden. Then we find that after he gave them Lechem min Hashamayim, bread from heaven, what happened then? He brought them to Sinai and gave them Torah. Because man needs sustenance, both to sustain him physically at man's level, but also to sustain his soul spiritually. Otherwise, it's not appropriate sustenance. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him mon, lechem min hashamayim, and then Torah min hashamayim. And that sustains man in totality. He says, for this reason, the Mishnah Ovis, the Chazal, tell us, and they were very scrupulous in this, in Ovis, Peregimel, It states, Reb Shimon Eimer, Shleishi Shochel Al Shulchan Echod. Three people that are eating at a table. V'le Omru Olav Divrei Torah, and they did not speak words of Torah. Ki lo ochlu mizif chemesim. It's as if they are eating from idolatry. The idolatry here is referred to as zif chemesim. Zif chemesim is the sacrifices of the dead. That's what idolatry is referred to. Someone would bring a sacrifice to idolatry. When three people eat at a table and there is no divrei Torah, no words of Torah discussed, it's as if they are eating from those sacrifices. But three that eat from a table and they discuss words of Torah, it's as if they are eating from the table of Hashem. As it states, Vayidaber Elai ze Hashulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This is the table which is before Hashem. When people eat, man eats his bread. So now he has what to sustain himself physically, and even at a higher level than physically. What man is. But what is going to sustain him spiritually? His soul. Therefore he has to have an additional sustenance. And that's the Divrei Torah. When he has that, so then that's a Suda Shlema. That's a Suda in totality. And then he's eating Mishulchan Shel Mokem. That's the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he comes and he attaches himself totally to Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the No Saint Chaim. He's making Mozin Nachol B'Yosef. He is the one who prepares the appropriate Mozin for all of his creations. The appropriate Mozin for a whale is one thing, for a shark is another, for a lion is another, for a donkey is another, but for man the appropriate mozin that he prepares is bread and Divrei Torah. So therefore, ki ilo ochal mishulchan ishal mokam, he is eating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table what he's prepared for man. But when they eat at a table, ve'ein b'neihem Divrei Torah, and there is no words, there are no words of Torah which are taught, so then ki ilo ochal mizif chemesim. That's the same as if they ate from the sacrifices that were brought to idolatry. And this is referred to as zif chemesim, the sacrifices of the dead. Why? He says, because people come and they worship idols. They worship forces in the world. Whatever they're worshiping, if it's not Hashem. These are referred to as mesim, dead people. Because what do they want from these people? They want, from these forces, they want them to give to them life. They come to the sun, they come to the rains, whatever they're coming to. They want something from them. They're helpless. They have no life in them. They're dead. And if they do have any life they have in them was given to them by Hashem. So they have nothing to give. So therefore the sacrifices to idolatry are referred to as zif chemesim, the sacrifices of the dead. When one eats at a table, he has his physical sustenance, but he doesn't have a spiritual sustenance. He cannot live from that. Just like man cannot live from grain, he has to eat bread, because this was his makeup. He has a further makeup of a soul also. And what's going to sustain that? So he won't be able to live from that. So therefore, when someone comes to a table and they eat and there are no words of Torah discussed, So they are eating from Zivchei Mesim. This is mozain. This is food that cannot sustain him. This is like eating from the sacrifices of the idols, which cannot sustain him, cannot give him life. But Shleishi Shochal al Shulchana, a Shulchan Echor, of three eat at one table. Yesh b'neim divrei Torah, and there are words of Torah. Now they are giving themselves total sustenance, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing to them. So it's as if they are sitting at a Kodesh Baruch Hu's table and he is feeding them. So this explains to us the first point was the obligation we learn from here, how one must constantly bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not focus on what he needs. That's also important, but to focus on what he has and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that when he has it or he's coming to partake from it. The second point is we find that the mainstay of man is different than the mainstay of all other creations, from the fact that it does not come in its raw natural state, but it comes in a man-produced state. What is the purpose of that? Because man is higher than the nature. Man was created where he can improve on the nature if he uses his seichel, he uses his intellect. He can destroy the nature also, as we see today, but he can also improve on it. And this is the type of sustenance that he needs, a sustenance which is higher than the nature. And this is the lechem, the pas lechem. And in addition to that, he needs the sustenance also of the divrei Torah. Then he has a total suda.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.